I thought the king had more affected the Duke of Albany than Cornwall.
It did always seem so to us. But now, in the division of the kingdom, it appears not which of the dukes he values most. For equalities are so weighed that curiosity in neither can make choice of either's moiety.
Is not this your son, my lord?
His breeding, sir, hath been at my charge. I've so often blushed to acknowledge him, but now I'm braced to it.
I cannot conceive you.
Sir, this young fellow's mother could. Whereupon she grew round-wombed, and had indeed, sir, a son for her cradle, ere she had a husband for her bed. Do you smell a fault?
I cannot wish the fault undone, the issue of it being so proper.
But I have, sir, a son by order of law, some year elder than this, who yet is no dearer in my account. Though this knave came something saucily to the world before he was sent for, yet was his mother fair, that was good sport at his making. And the whoreson must be acknowledged. Do you know this noble gentleman, Edmund?
No, my lord.
My lord of Kent. Remember him hereafter as my honourable friend.
My services to your lordship.
I must love you and sue to know you better.
Sir, I shall study deserving.
And he hath been out 9 years. And away he shall again. The king is coming.
Attend the lords of France and Burgundy, Gloucester.
I shall, my liege.
Meantime, we shall express our darker purpose. Give me the map. There. Know that we have divided in three our kingdom. And 'tis our fast intent to shake all care and business from our age, conferring them on younger strengths, while we, unburdened, crawl toward death. Our son of Cornwall, and you, our no less loving son of Albany, we have this hour a constant will to publish our daughter's several dowers, that future strife may be prevented now. The princes, France and Burgundy, great rivals in our youngest daughter's love, long in our courts have made their amorous sojourn, and here are to be answered. Tell me, my daughters, since now we will divest us both of rule, interest of territory, cares of state, which of you, shall we say, doth love us most? That we our largest bounty may extend where nature doth with merit challenge. Goneril, our eldest born, speak first.
Sir, I love you more than word can wield the matter. Dearer than eyesight, space and liberty, beyond what can be valued, rich or rare, no less than life, with grace, health, beauty, honor, as much as child e'er loved or father found. A love that makes breath poor and speech unable, beyond all manner of so much I love you.
What shall Cordelia speak? Love and be silent.
Of all these bounds, even from this line to this, with shadowy forests and with champagnes rich, with plenteous rivers and wide-skirted meads, we make thee, lady, to thine and Albany's issues, be this perpetual. What says our second daughter, our dearest Regan, wife of Cornwall? Speak.
I am made of that self-metal as my sister.
and prize me at her word. In my true heart, I find she names my very deed of love. Only she comes too short. That I profess myself an enemy to all other joys which the most precious square of sense possesses. And find I am alone felicitated in your dear Highness' love.
Then poor Cordelia. And yet not so, since I am sure my love's more ponderous than my tongue.
To thee and thine, hereditary ever, remain this ample third of our fair kingdom, no less in space, validity, and pleasure than that conferred on Goneril. Now, our joy, although our last and least, to whose young love the vines of France and milk of Burgundy strive to be interest. What can you say? To win a third more opulent than your sisters. Speak.
Nothing, my lord.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing will come of nothing. Speak again.
Unhappy that I am, I cannot heave my heart into my mouth. I love your majesty according to my bond, no more nor less.
Cordelia, mend your speech a little, lest you may mar your fortunes.
Good, my lord. You have begot me, bred me, loved me. I return those duties back as our right fit. Obey you, love you, and most honor you. Why have my sisters husbands if they say they love you all? Haply, when I shall wed, that lord whose hand must take my plight shall carry half my love with him, half my care and duty. Sure, I shall never marry like my sisters, to love my father all.
But goes thy heart with this?
Aye, my good lord.
So young and so untender.
So young, my lord, and true.
Let it be so. Thy truth, then, be thy dower. For by the sacred radiance of the sun, the mysteries of Hecate and the night, by all the operation of the orbs from whom we do exist and cease to be, here I disclaim all my paternal care, propinquity, and property of blood, and as a stranger to my heart and me, hold thee from this forever. The barbarous Scythian, or he that makes his generation messes to gorge his appetite, shall to my bosom be as well neighbored, pitied, and relieved as thou, my sometime daughter.
Good, my liege.
She's Kent. Come not between the dragon and his wrath. I loved her most, and thought to set my rest on her kind nursery. Hence, and avoid my sight. So be my grave, my peace, as here I give her father's heart from her. Call France, Hustas, call Burgundy. Cornwall, Albany. With my two daughters' dowers digest this third. Let pride, which she calls plainness, marry her. I do invest you jointly with my power, preeminence, and all the large effects that troop with majesty. Ourself, by monthly course, with reservation of 100 knights by you to be sustained, shall our abode make with you by due terms. Only we will retain the name and all the addition of a king. The sway, revenue, execution of the rest, beloved sons, be yours, which to confirm this coronet part between you.
Royal Lear, whom I have ever honored as my king, loved as my father, as my master, followed as my great patron, thought on in my prayers.
The bow is bent and drawn. Make from the shaft.
Let it fall, rather, though the fork invade the region of my heart. Be Kent unmannerly when Lear is mad? What wouldst thou do, old man? Thinkst thou that duty shall have dread to speak when power to flattery bows? To plainness honor's bound when majesty falls to folly. Reserve thy state, and in my best consideration check this hideous rashness. Answer my life, my judgment. Thy youngest daughter does not love thee least. nor are those empty-hearted whose low sounds reverb no hollowness.
Kent, on my life no more.
My life I never held but as a pawn to wage against thine enemies, nor fear to lose it, thy safety being motive.
Out of my sight!
See better, Lear, and let me still remain the true blank of thine eye.
Now, by Apollo!
Now, by Apollo, King, thou swear'st thy gods in vain.
Do that, miscreant!
Yes,
that too! Kill thy physician and thy fever stow upon the foul disease. Revoke thy gift, or whilst I can vent clamor from my throat, I'll tell thee thou dost evil.
Hear me, recreant, on thine allegiance. Hear me. As thou hast sought to make us break our vow, which we durst never yet, and by strained pride to come betwixt our sentence and our power, which nor our nature nor our place can bear, our potency made good, take thy reward. 5 days we do allot thee for provision to shield thee from disasters of the world, and on the sixth to turn thy hated back upon our kingdom. If on the 10th day following thy banished trunk be found in our dominion, the moment is thy death. Away! By Jupiter! This shall not be revoked.
Fare thee well, King. Sith thus thou wilt appear, freedom lives hence, and banishment is here. The gods to their dear shelter take thee, maid. That justly thinkst, and hast most rightly said. And your large speeches may your deeds approve, that good effects may spring from words of love. Thus, Kent, O princes, bids you all adieu. He'll shape his old course in a country new.
Here's France and Burgundy, my noble lord.
My lord of Burgundy, we first address toward you, who with this king hath rivaled for our daughter. What in the least will you require in present dower with her, or cease your quest of love?
Most royal majesty, I crave no more than hath your highness offered, nor will you tender less.
Right noble Burgundy, when she was dear to us, we did hold her so, but now her price is fallen. So there she stands. If aught within this little seeming substance, or all of it, with our displeasure pieced, and nothing more, may haply like your grace, she's there, and she is yours.
I know no answer.
Will you, with these infirmities she owes, unfriended, new adopted to our hate, dowered with our curse and strangered with our oath, take her or leave her?
Pardon me, royal sir. Election makes not up in such conditions.
Then leave her, sir, for by the power that made me, I tell you all her wealth. For you, great king, I would not from your love make such a stray to match you where I hate. Therefore beseech you to avert your liking a more worthier way than on a wretch whom nature is ashamed almost to acknowledge hers.
This is most strange. That she, whom even but now was your best object, the argument of your praise, balm of your age, the best, the dearest, should in this trice of time commit a thing so monstrous to dismantle so many folds of favor? Sure, her offense must be of such unnatural degree that monsters it, or your fore-vouched affection fall into taint. Which to believe of her must be a faith that reason without miracle should never plant in me.
I yet beseech your majesty, if for I want that glib and oily art to speak and purpose not, since what I well intend I'll do it before I speak, that you make known it is no vicious blot, murder or foulness, no unchaste action or dishonored step that hath deprived me of your grace and favor. But even for want of that for which I am richer, a still soliciting eye, and such a tongue that I am glad I have not, though not to have it hath lost me in your liking.
Better thou hadst not been born than not to have pleased me better.
Is it but this, a tardiness in nature that often leaves the history unspoke which it intends to do? My lord of Burgundy, what say you to the lady? Love's not love when 'tis mingled with regards that stands aloof from the entire point. Will you have her? She is herself a dowry.
Royal Majesty, give but that portion which yourself proposed. And here I take Cordelia by the hand, Duchess of Burgundy.
Nothing. I have sworn.
I'm firm.
I'm sorry, then. You have so lost a father that you must lose a husband.
Peace be with Burgundy. Since that respects a fortune are his love, I shall not be his wife.
Fairest Cordelia, that art most rich, being poor, most choice forsaken, and most loved despised. Thee and thy virtues here I seize upon. Be it lawful, I take up what's cast away. Gods, gods, 'tis strange that from their cold's neglect my love should kindle to inflamed respect. Thy dowerless daughter, king, thrown to my chance, is queen of us, of ours, of our fair France. Not all the dukes of waterish Burgundy can buy this unprized, precious maid of me. Bid them farewell, Cordelia, though unkind. Thou losest here a better where to find.
Thou hast her, France, let her be thine, for we have no such daughter. Nor shall ever see that face of hers again. Therefore be gone, without our grace, our love, our benison. Come, noble Burgundy.
Bid farewell to your sisters.
The jewels of our father. With washed eyes, Cordelia leaves you. I know you what you are, and like a sister, I'm most loath to call your faults as they are named. Love well our father. To your professed bosoms I commit him. But yet, alas, stood I within his grace, I would prefer him to a better place. So farewell to you both.
Prescribe not us our duty.
Let your study be to content your lord, who hath received you at fortune's arms. You have obedience scanted, and well are worth the want that you have wanted.
Time shall unfold what plighted cunning hides. Who covers faults, at last with shame derides. Well may you prosper.
Come, my fair Cordelia.
Sister, it is not little I have to say of what most nearly appertains to us both. I think our father will hence tonight.
That's most certain. And with you. Next month with us.
You see how full of changes his age is. The observation we have made on it hath been little. He always loved her sister best, and with what poor judgment he has now cast her off appears too gross.
It is the infirmity of his age. Yet he hath ever but slenderly known himself.
Oh, the best and soundest of his time hath been but rash. Mm. Then must we look from his age to receive not alone the imperfections of long engraved condition, but therewithal the unruly waywardness that infirm and choleric years bring with them.
Such unconstant starts are we likely to have of him, as this of Kent's banishment.
There is further compliment of leave-taking between France and him. I pray you, let's hit together. If our father carry authority with such disposition as he bears, this last surrender of his will but offend us.
We shall further think of it.
We must do something under the heat.
Thou, nature, art my goddess. To thy law my services are bound. Wherefore should I stand in the plague of custom and permit the curiosity of nations to deprive me for that I am some 12 or 14 moonshine lag of a brother? Why, bastard? Wherefore base? When my dimensions are as well compact, my mind as generous, and my shape as true as honest madam's issue, why brand they us with base, with baseness, bastardy? Base, base. Who in the lusty stealth of nature take more composition and fierce quality than doth within a dulled, stale, tired bed, go to the creating a whole tribe of fops got between asleep and wake. Well then, a legitimate Edgar, I must have your land. Our father's love is to the bastard Edmund as to the legitimate. Fine word, legitimate. Well, my legitimate, if this letter speed and my invention thrive, Edmund the base shall top the legitimate. I grow. I prosper. Now, gods, stand up. For bastards.
Kent vanished thus, France in collar parted, and the king gone tonight prescribed his power, confined to exhibition. All this done upon the gad.
Edmund? How now, what news?
Sir, please, your lordship, none.
Why so earnestly seek you to put up that letter?
I know no news, my lord.
What paper were you reading?
Nothing, my lord.
No. What needed, then, that terrible dispatch of it into your pocket? The quality of nothing hath not such need to hide itself. Let's see, come, if it be nothing. I shall not need spectacles.
I beseech you, sir, pardon me. It is a letter from my brother that I have not all or read, and for so much as I have perused, I find it not fit for your o'erlooking.
Give me the letter, sir.
I shall offend either to detain or give it. The contents, as in part I understand them, are to blame.
Let's see.
I hope for my brother's justification he hath writ this but as an essay or taste of my virtue. It...
Policy and reverence of age makes the world bitter to the best of our times. Keeps our futures from us till our oldness cannot relish them. I begin to find an idle and fond bondage in the oppression of aged tyranny, whose sway is not as it hath power, but as it is suffered. Come to me, that of this I may speak more. If our father should sleep till I waked him, you should enjoy half his revenue forever and live the beloved of your brother Edgar. Conspiracy! Sleep till I waked him, you should enjoy half his revenue. My son, Edgar! Had he a hand to write this, a heart and brain to breed it in? When came this to you? Who brought it?
It was not brought me, my lord. There's the cunning of it. I found it thrown in at the casement of my closet.
You know the character to be your brother's.
If the matter were good, my lord, I dare swear it were his, but in respect of that, I would fain think it were not.
It is his!
It is his hand, my lord, but I hope his heart is not in the contents.
Has he never before sounded you in this business?
Never, my lord. But I have heard him oft maintain it to be fit that sons at perfect age and fathers declined, the father should be as ward to the son and the son manage his revenue.
Oh, villain! His very opinion in the letter! Abhorred villain! Unnatural, detested, brutish villain! Worse than brutish. Go set a sick him. I'll apprehend him. Abominable villain!
Where is he? I do not well know, my lord. If it should please you to suspend your indignation against my brother till you can derive better testimony of his intent, you should run a certain course, where if you violently proceed against him, mistaking his purpose, it would make a great gap in your own honor and shake in pieces the heart of his obedience. I dare pawn down my life for him that he hath writ this, to feel my affection to your honor and to no other pretense of danger.
Think you so?
If your honor judge it meet, I will place you where you shall hear us confer of this, and by an auricular assurance have your satisfaction, and that with no greater delay than this very evening.
He cannot be such a monster.
Nor is not sure.
To his father, who so tenderly and entirely loves him, heaven and earth. Seek him out, Edmund. Wind me into him, I pray you. Frame the business after your own wisdom. I would unstake myself to be in a due resolution.
I will seek him, sir, presently. Convey the business as I shall find means and acquaint you with all.
These late eclipses in the sun and moon portend no good to us. Though the wisdom of nature can reason it thus and thus, yet nature finds itself scourged by the sequent effects. Love cools, friendship falls off, brothers divide. In cities, mutinies, in countries, discord, in palaces, treason. And the bond cracked twixt son and father. With spirit of mine, perhaps, under the prediction, bear son against father. King falls from bias of nature, bears father against child. Oh, we have seen the best of our time. Machinations, hollowness, treachery, and all ruinous disorders follow us disquietly to our graves. Find out this villain, Edmund. Shall lose thee nothing. Do it carefully. And the noble and true-hearted Kent banished. His offense? Honesty. It is strange.
This is the excellent foppery of the world, that when we are sick in fortune, often the surfeits of our own behavior, we make guilty of our disasters the sun, the moon, and stars, as if we were villains on necessity, fools by heavenly compulsion, knaves, thieves, and treachers by spherical predominance, drunkards, liars, and adulterers by an enforced obedience of planetary influence, and all that we are evil in by a divine thrusting on. An admirable evasion of whoremaster man to lay his goatish disposition on the charge of a star. My father compounded with my mother under the dragon's tail, and my nativity was under Ursa Major, so that it follows I am rough and lecherous. I should have been that I am had the maidenliest star in the firmament twinkled on my bastardizing. Edgar. Patty comes like the catastrophe of the old comedy. My cue is villainous melancholy with a sigh like Tom of Bedlam. These eclipses do portend these divisions.
How now, Brother Edmund? What serious contemplation are you in?
I'm thinking, brother, of a prediction I read this other day, what should follow these eclipses.
Do you busy yourself with that?
I promise you, the effects he writes of succeed unhappily as of unnaturalness between the child and the parent. Death, dearth, dissolutions of ancient amities, divisions in state, menaces and maledictions against king and nobles, needless diffidences, banishment of friends, dissipation of cohorts, nuptial breaches, and I know not what.
How long have you been a sectary astronomical?
Come. When saw you my father last?
A night gone by.
Spake you with him?
Aye, 2 hours together.
Parted you in good terms? Found you no displeasure in him by word nor countenance?
None at all.
Bethink yourself wherein you may have offended him. and at my entreaty forbear his presence until some little time hath qualified the heat of his displeasure, which at this instant so rageth in him that with the mischief of your person it would scarcely allay.
Some villain hath done me wrong.
That's my fear. I pray you have a continent forbearance till the speed of his rage goes slower. And as I say, retire with me to my lodging, from whence I will fitly bring you to hear my lord speak. Pray ye go. There's my key. If you do stir abroad, go armed.
Armed, brother?
Brother, I advise you to the best. I am no honest man if there be any good meaning toward you. I have told you what I have seen and heard, but faintly, nothing like the image and the horror of it. Pray you away.
Shall I hear from you anon?
I do serve you in this business. Credulous father and a brother noble whose nature is so far from doing harms that he suspects none, on whose foolish honesty my practices ride easy. I see the business. Let me, if not by birth, have lands by wit. All with me's meat that I can fashion fit.
My father strike my gentleman for chiding of his fool?
Aye, madam.
Oh, by day and night he wrongs me. Every hour he flashes into one gross crime or other that sets us all at odds. I'll not endure it. His nights grow riotous, and himself upbraids us on every trifle. When he returns from hunting, I will not speak with him. Say I'm sick. If you come slack of former services, you shall do well. The fault of it I'll answer.
He's coming, madam, I hear him.
Put on what weary negligence you please, you and your fellows. I'd have it come to question. If he distaste it, let him to my sister, whose mind and mine I know in that are one, not to be overruled. Idle old man, that still would manage those authorities that he hath given away. Ah, by my life, old fools are babes again, and must be used with checks as flatteries when they are seen abused. Remember what I have said.
Well, madam.
And let his knights have colder looks among them. What grows of it, no matter. Advise your fellows so. I would breed from hence occasions, and I shall, that I may speak. I'll write straight to my sister to hold my petty cause. Prepare for dinner.
If but as well I other accents borrow that can my speech diffuse, my good intent may carry through itself to that full issue for which I raised my likeness. Now banished Kent, if thou canst serve where thou dost stand condemned, so may it come. Thy master, whom thou lovest, shall find thee full of labors.
For dinner? Oh, get it ready. Anna, what art thou?
A man, sir.
What dost thou profess? What wouldst thou with us?
I do profess to be no less than I seem. To serve him truly that will put me in trust. Love him that is honest, to converse with him that is wise and says little. To fear judgment, to fight when I cannot choose, and to eat no fish.
What art thou?
A very honest-hearted fellow and as poor as the king.
If thou beest as poor for a subject as he is for a king, thou art poor enough. What wouldst thou?
Service?
Who wouldst thou serve?
You.
Dost thou know me, fellow?
No, sir, but you have that in your countenance that I would fain call master.
What's that?
Authority.
What services canst thou do?
Oh, I can keep honest counsel, ride, run, mar a curious tale in telling it, and deliver a plain message bluntly. That which ordinary men are fit for, I am qualified in. And the best of me is diligence.
How old are thou?
Well, not so young, sir, to love a woman for singing. Nor so old to dote on her for anything. I have years on my back, 48.
Follow me, thou shalt serve me. If I like thee no worse after dinner, I shall not pass the thee before. Dinner! Dinner! Where's my name, my fool? Go, you, call my fool hither. You, sirrah. Where's my daughter?
So please, you.
What says the fellow there? Call the corporal back! But where's my fool? Ha ha ho! I think the world's asleep. Now, where's that mongrel?
He says, my lord, your daughter is not well.
Why came not the slave back to me when I called him?
Sir, he answered me in the rudest manner he would not.
He would not.
My lord, I know not what the matter is, but to my judgment, your highness is not entertained with that ceremonious affection as you are wont. There's a great abatement of kindness appears as well in the general dependence as in the Duke himself also and your daughter.
Says thou so.
I beseech you, pardon me, my lord, if I be mistaken, for my duty cannot be silent when I think your highness wrong.
Thou but rememberest me of mine own conception. I have perceived most faint neglect of late, which I have rather blamed as mine own jealous curiosity than as the very pretense and purpose of unkindness. I will look further into it. But where's my fool? I've not seen him this 2 days.
Since my young lady's going into France, sir, the fool hath much pined away.
No more of that. I've noted it well. Go you, tell my daughter I'd speak with her. Go you and call hither my fool! Ah! You, sir! You! Come you hither, sir? Who am I, sir?
My lady's father.
My lady's father? My lord's knave. You whoreson dog, you slave, you cur!
I am none of these, my lord. I beseech your pardon.
Do you bandy looks with me, you rascal?
I'll not be strucken, my lord.
Not stripped neither, you base football player!
I thank thee, fellow. Thou servest me and I'll love thee.
Come, sir, arise. Away. No, we'll teach you differences. Away. Away. Have you wisdom? If you measure your lover's length again, tarry, but away. Go to.
Hey! Now, my friendly knave, I thank thee. Here's Ernest for thy service.
Let me hire him, too. Here's my coxcomb.
Now, my pretty knave. How dost thou?
Sirrah, you had best take my coxcomb.
Yeah, why, fool?
Why? For taking one's partner out of favour. Nay, and thou canst not smile as the wind sits, thou'll catch cold shortly. They take my coxcomb. Why, this fellow, he's banished to one's daughters and did the third a blessing against his will. If thou follow him, thou must needs wear my coxcomb. And uncle. Mm. Would I have two coxcombs and two daughters?
Why, boy?
If I gave them all me living, I'll keep me coxcombs myself. There's mine. Take another of thy daughters.
Take heed, sirrah. The whip.
Oh, truth. The dog, Muster Kennel. He must be whipped out when Lady the Brack may stand in the fire and stick.
A pestilent gall to me,
sirrah. I'll teach thee a speech.
Do, boy.
Mark it, none. Have more than thou showest, speak less than thou knowest, lend less than thou owest, ride more than thou goest, learn more than thou trowest, set less than thou throwest, leave thy drink and thy oar, and keep in a door, and thou shalt have more than 2/10 to a score.
This is nothing, fool.
And 'tis like the breath of an unfeed lawyer, you gave me nothing for it. Why, can you make no use of nothing, uncle?
Why, no, boy, nothing could be made out of nothing.
Oh, prithee, tell him. So much the rent of his land comes to, he'll not believe a fool.
A bitter fool.
Dost know the difference, my boy, between a bitter fool and a sweet one?
No, lad, teach me.
That lord that counseled thee to give away thy land, come peace him here by me, and do thou for him stand. The sweet and bitter fool will presently appear. The one in Motley here, the other found out there.
Dost thou call me fool, boy?
All thy other titles thou hast given away. That thou wast born with.
This is not altogether fool, my lord.
Oh, faith, no lords and great men will not let me. If I had a monopoly out, they'd have part on it. And the ladies, too, they'll not let me have all the food to myself. They'd be snatching. Luckily. Huh? Give me an egg And I'll give thee 2 crowns.
What 2 crowns shall they be?
God, when I've cut the egg in the middle and eat up the meat, the 2 crowns of the egg. Well, thou clovest thy crown in the middle and gavest away both parts, thou borest thine ass on thy back o'er the dirt. Thou hadst little wit in thy bald crown when thou gavest thy golden one away. If I speak like myself in this, let him be whipped that first finds it so. Fools had ne'er less grace in a year, for wise men are grown foppish, and know not e'er their wits to wear. Their manners are so apish.
When was thou wont to be so full of songs, sirrah?
I've used it, Nuggle, ever since thou madest thy daughters thy mothers. For when thou gavest birth and puttest down their own breeches, then they for sudden joy did weep, and I for sorrow sung that such a king should play Bo Peep and go the fools among. Old Nuggle, prithee, keep a schoolmaster that can teach thy fool to lie. I'd fain learn to lie.
And you lie, sirrah, we'll have you whipped.
I marvel what kin thou and thy daughters are. They'd have me whipped for speaking truth, they'd have me whipped for lying. Sometimes I'm whipped for holding me peace. I'd rather be any kind of thing than a fool, and yet it must be thee, Uncle. Thou hast pared thy wit on both sides and left nothing in the middle. Here comes one of the parings.
Now, daughter, what makes that frontlet on? You're too much of Lady the Frown.
Thou wast a pretty fellow when thou hadst no need to care for her frowning. Now thou art an owl without a figure. I'm better than thou art now. I'm a fool out nothing. Oh, yes, forsooth. I will hold me peace, so your face bids me, though you say nothing. Mum. He that keeps no crust, no crumb. Weary of all shall want some. That's a shield peace card.
Not only, sir, this your old licensed fool, but other of your insolent retinue do hourly carp and quarrel, breaking forth in rank and not to be endured riots, sir. I had thought by making this well known to you to have found a safe redress, but now grow fearful by what yourself too late have spoke and done, that you protect their course and put it on by your allowance, which if you should, the fault would not scape censure, nor the redresses sleep, which in the tender of a wholesome wheel might in their working do you that offence, which else were shame that their necessity were called discreet proceedings.
No, Uncle, the edge sparrow fed the cuckoo so long it had its head bit off by its young. So out went the candle, we were left darkling.
Are you our daughter?
That you would make use of your good wisdom, whereof I know you are fraught, and put away these dispositions which of late transport you from what you rightly are.
May not the ass know when the cart draws the horse. Go, whoops, jug, I love thee.
Does any here know me? This is not Lear. Does Lear walk thus, speak thus? Where are his eyes? Either his notion weakens or his discerning's a lethargy. Waking? Tis not so. Who is it that will tell me who I am?
Lear's shadow.
I would learn that, for by the marks of sovereignty, knowledge, and reason, I should be false persuaded
I had daughters. They will make an obedient father.
Your name? Fair gentlewoman.
Oh, this admiration, sir, is much of the savour of other your new pranks. I do beseech you to understand my purposes aright. As you are old and reverend, should be wise. Here you do keep 100 knights and squires, men so disordered, so deboshed and bold, that this our court, infected with their manners, shows like a riotous inn. Epicurism and lust makes it more like a brothel or a tavern than a graced palace. The shame itself doth speak for instant remedy. Be then desired by her that else will take the thing she bears, a little to disquantity your train, and the remainders that shall still depend to be such men as may besought your age, which know themselves and you.
Darkness and devil, saddle my horses! Call my train together! Degenerate bastard, I'll not trouble thee. Yet have I left a daughter.
You strike my people, and your disordered rabble makes servants of their betters.
All that too late prevent. All that you come, sir. Is it your will? Speak, sir! Prepare my horses! Ingratitude, thou marble-hearted fiend, more hideous when thou show'st thee in a child than the sea monster.
Pray, sir, be patient.
Detested kite, thou liest. My train are men of choice and rarest parts, who all particulars of duty know, and with the most exact regard support the worships of their name. Oh, most small fault, how ugly didst thou in Cordelia show. which, like an engine, wrenched my frame of nature from the fixed place, drew from my heart all love, and added to the gall. Oh, Lear, 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 meet at this gate, that let thy folly in and thy dear judgment out. Go, go, my people!
Oh, my lord, I am as guiltless as I am ignorant of what hath moved you.
It may be so, my lord. Here, nature. Here, dear goddess, here. Suspend thy purpose, if thou didst intend to make this creature fruitful. Into her womb conveys sterility. Dry up in her the organs of increase. And from her derogate body never spring a babe to honor her. If she must teem, create her child of spleen, that it may live and be athwart this natured torment to her. Let it stamp wrinkles in her brow of youth, with cadent tears fret channels in her cheeks. Turn all her mother's pains and benefits to laughter and contempt, that she may feel how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Away! Away!
Gods, mere door, wherefore comes this?
Never afflict yourself to know more of it, but let his disposition have that scope as dotage gives it.
What? 50 of my fellows in a clap within a fortnight?
What's the matter,
sir? I'll tell thee! Life and death, I am ashamed that thou hast power to shape my manhood thus. That these hot tears which break from me perforce should make thee worth them. Bursts and fogs upon thee. The untinted woundings of a father's curse pierce every sense about thee. Old fond eyes, beweep this cause again, I'll pluck ye out and cast you with the waters that you loose to temper clay. Is it come to this? Let it be so. I have another daughter who I am sure is kind and comfortable. When she shall hear this of thee, with her nails she'll flay thy wolfish visage. Thou shalt find that I'll resume that shape which thou dost think I have cast off forever.
Do you mark that?
Cannot be so partial, Goneril, to the great love I bear you.
I pray you content. But Oswald, who? You, sir, more knave than fool after your master.
Uncle Lear, Uncle Lear, tell me, take the fool with thee. The fox, when one has caught her, and such a daughter, should sure to the slaughter, if my cat would buy a halter, and so the fool follows after.
This man hath had good counsel. 100 knights. Is politic and safe to let him keep at point 100 knights? Yes, that on every dream, each buzz, each fancy, each complaint, dislike, he may engard his dotage in their powers and hold our lives in mercy? Oswald, I say!
Well, you may fear too far.
Safer than trust too far. Let me still take away the harms I fear, not spears still to be taken. I know his heart. What is that? I have writ my sister. If she sustain him and his 100 knights when I have shown the unfitness. How now, Oswald? What have you writ that letter to my sister?
Aye, madam.
Take you some company and away to horse. Inform her full of my particular fear. And thereto add such reasons as your own as may compact it more. Get you gone and hasten your return. No, my lord. This milky gentleness and course of yours, though I condemn not, yet under pardon, you are much more attacked for want of wisdom than praised for harmful mildness.
How far your eyes may pierce, I cannot tell. Striving to be better, oft we mar what's well.
Nay.
Well, the event.
Go you before to Gloucester with these letters. Acquaint my daughter no further with anything you know than comes from her demand out of the letter. If your diligence be not speedy, I shall be there before you.
I will not sleep, my lord, till I've delivered your letter.
If a man's brains were in his heels, were it not in danger of kibes?
Aye, boy.
But prithee be merry. Thy wit shall not go slipshod.
Ha, 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 ha.
Shalt see. Thy other daughter will use thee kindly, for though she's as like this as a crab's like an apple, here I can tell what I can tell.
What canst tell, boy?
She will taste as like this as a crab does to a crab. Canst tell why one's nose stands in the middle on's face?
No.
To keep his eyes on either side of his nose, that what a man cannot smell out, he may spy into.
I did her wrong.
Canst tell how an oyster makes his shell?
No!
No, nor I neither! But I can tell why a snail has a house.
Why?
Put his head in. Not to give away to his daughters and leave his horns without a case.
I shall forget my nature. So kind a father. Be my horses ready!
Thy asses are gone about them. The reason why the seven stars are no more than seven is a pretty reason.
Because they're not eight.
Yes, indeed. That make a good fool.
To take to gain perforce. Monster ingratitude.
If thou wert my fool, uncle, I'd have thee beaten for being old before thy time.
How's that?
Thou shouldst not have been old till thou hadst been wise.
Oh, let me not be mad. Not mad. Sweet heaven, keep me in temper. I would not be mad. Hello, my horse is ready.
Ready, my lord.
Come, boy.
She that's a maid now and laughs at my departure shall not be a maid long unless things be cut shorter.